Penny Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Mo, the so-called proprietor of the Paisley. Hello. Paisleys are seeds of the mind, in my mind. And I guess there are a few Paisleys there, because I do have something of a mind left. And welcome! Today is Wednesday, the 14th of January. I got it right. And in the year 2026, got that part right too. That is good. So how are you? I hope you're all doing well. Yes, all doing well. Yes, the world, it is interesting, to say the very least. Yes, to say the very least. I hope you are all well. Welcome to the chat room. Yes, let me take a look here. Ah, Lisa, aloha. Oh, you're back home. Well, original home. And I hope you're doing well there. And Renee is in the chat room. Hello. Yes, we're having a great topic today. You are absolutely correct. You are correct. Today's topic is going to be on conversational tarot. That's right. Tarot is a fascinating subject to me. I've been studying it since I was a kiddo, and I've been using it professionally most of my life. Most of it. And so today we're going to discuss tarot and conversational tarot. And what that means is just talking to it, having a chat with it, instead of using a spread. The high price spread, if you will. I'm kidding. It's just an old TV commercial sort of thing. You know what I mean. Maybe you don't know what I mean. You're not old like me. You're not old and old like me. So, gosh, last week has been a whirlwind, hasn't it? Last week, the last thing I did was ask the beads here, the dragon beads, as I call them, about an I Ching question about upcoming things. And I got the darkening of the light, Ming Yi, the 36th hexagram. And I went, oh, that's not so good. And I did not know yet about the happenings with Renee Good in the tragic happenings in Minneapolis. And I did not know about that. And that certainly was the darkening of the light for me. I was more than sad. I was depressed and angered and certainly angry and still angry and for many different reasons. And the beads have been incredibly accurate. I've been using them all week. I think I'm going to make another set that I can actually fit around my try and knot between them, because when this breaks, as it inevitably does, there will be little beads everywhere. But I just like this method so very much. If you are wondering what I'm talking about, last week's show was about this. Well, but let me remind you, if you haven't subscribed yet, I wish you would. Could you subscribe to my channel? That would be nice. That would be nice. It gives me a little goose with YouTube, and I could use a little goose with YouTube and in life in general. Just, you know, wah, wah, wah. I guess it's more of a duck, isn't it? Honk. That's goose-ish. I won't blow my Oscar Mayer whistle. I don't need a bosun's whistle right now. But let's take about 55 minutes away from all of that, shall we? 50 minutes left away from all that. And the week it's been, which has been kind of, God almighty, hasn't it been? Hasn't it been, my friends? But we're here together, and let us just talk about the language of Tarot. It is a language, you know. And what does that mean? Well, a lot of people don't understand that. Don't have a... Pamela, hi, Pamela. Oh, never apologize for being late. It's kind of you to do so. Welcome to the room. Welcome. Yeah, just got off work. Well, you made an effort to be here, and you are here, and it is so kind of you to be here. The fact that you're here is truly wonderful. Very nice to see you. And all of you, those of you listening at 1-2 Radio, thank you for listening. Some of you are listening live. Some of you are listening in the future. And I appreciate everyone listening. I love you all very much so. So, and if you want to hop on over to YouTube later and see me sitting here in the room, such as it is a room. I mean, it actually is a room, which it is. So, Tarot. Cards are fascinating. The cards are fascinating. You've got this deck of cards, and you've got 78 of them. And you shuffle them up randomly. And I don't do a riffle shuffle. I do what's known as a pharaoh shuffle. And it's not like a king of Egypt. You know, the farah. Farah. Actually, it's called perah. I do a pharaoh shuffle, which is spelled F-A-R-O-H. It's not called that. F-A-R-O, I'm sorry. I think get to doing other things, and the mind wanders, and it's in another plane, usually one to a tropical paradise, I guess. I don't have any idea, because I don't get to go. I go wherever that palm tree is in back of me. It's not that hard to learn, by the way. And when you've got a thick deck of cards, and that's what the Pharaoh Shuffle, Pharaoh, was a game that bilked a lot of people out of a lot of money in the old Wild West. I don't know how to play it, but I do know how to do the shuffle. And what you do is you take the two halves of the deck and you put them together like this. Just like this. And you just kind of seesaw the two together and they just spring together like that. And if you do it right, you've got just about every card interlaced with each other. Then you just very gently press them together. You can spring them together if you want, but I don't. I just kind of force them together. I don't generally bridge my cards that much because I don't like to deform them too much. Although these are good quality cards. They're mine. These are the cards that I drew and had printed up. I will be making my cards available again. I've had a lot of people asking me about that, which is flattering and ego-boosting to a certain extent, I guess. I drew them just for me because I came to a revelation that the cards that I was using, which was the Aleister Crowley Thoth deck, his deck, didn't suit me anymore because I had... And we're going to talk about this when we talk about conversational tarot. It didn't hold enough information for me. What do I mean by that? Well, a card, any card, pick any card. Here's one, victory. There we find. Oh yeah, the camera. My Six of Wands is victory. Now, you say, where are the wands? Well, the wands are the books, six books there. And one of the books is actually a card or a book about, it would be about this deck. That's being pretentious as can be. and there's a legal pad next to it as someone is reading the book, perhaps in a library. And the other books are all books that I own, see? One is a book on hieroglyphics there and that I have. And so what the whole point of this is that books are made of trees. At least once upon a time they were. And so the wands are, and wands are fire. Oh, Pamela, you're very kind. She said, nowhere else she'd rather be. You're so kind. My God, that's very sweet. So victory to me. And the sixes, all the sixes in the deck are the perfection of their suit. So the perfection of this concept of wands, victory, to me, is these books. Because what they do is they teach. That's what I've gotten over the years, is this concept of tarot and what it does, and the Six of Wands. The Six of Wands in the Crowley deck are six wands. They're wands of master people of his order. And the six wands are lamps. They form these. It's beautifully done. Frieda Harris did a great job, of course. She was great at what she did. And they each form little lamps. And those lamps provide light. And I figure that over the years, what has really provided light for me has been books. I have spent my life studying quite a bit. This bookshelf behind me, and there's another one, and there's one here, and there's one over here where you can't see, filled with more books. And some gewgaws and stuff that I like to have near me. And then in the basement, there are one, two, three bookshelves, like this one, the big one in back of me. And then there's another one, two, three bookshelves that aren't quite as tall. And then there are some boxes with books in them, too, because I couldn't get them all up. I've been collecting books all my life because I love books, and I've read them. Not all, every single one, I must admit. I've been to some book sales where I've said, oh, I want to read about this, you know. But the metaphysical ones, I've all looked at all of them and delved into all of them and studied as much as I can of them. Because this knowledge is victory. And stuff that I peered into that I didn't think was worthwhile, I just put aside and said, maybe there'll be something there later that I can use. And I put it aside, you see. So that's what I'm saying, that, you know, the cards, I gained this information about this over a period of years. And I said, I need cards that reflect this to me when I'm doing readings. What is victory to me? Victory can be true victory in a lawsuit, true victory. But cards can talk to you. This is a language. It isn't just a piece of paper. There are what are called false cognitives in language. Are you familiar with this idea, the idea of a false cognitive? Okay, let me give you a couple of examples. When I was a kid, one day I said to my parents, let's go get some Telg Ishta. And he said, what? I said, Telg Ishta. Well, Telg in Arabic, because they spoke Arabic, they were Egyptian, they spoke, you know, colloquial Egyptian, but it's Arabic. Telg means ice, and Ishta means cream. I wanted to go get some ice cream. And they started laughing. And they said, that's very sweet, that's very clever. But they used the French term glacé. And so I felt kind of, you know, like, oh, okay, that's a false cognitive. I decided that it would be, you know, if I spoke in Arabic, they might have some pity on me and say, yeah, the kid said, let's go get some Telg Ishta, let's go get some ice cream. Another example. They were speaking about a man that I liked very much. He was also, I believe, an Egyptian. He may have been some other Middle Eastern. And he used to visit our house, and I thought he was a very nice guy. And they were speaking about him in Arabic, and I understood a lot of Arabic, like all of it, you know. And they kept calling him Mukhlis, Mukhlis, Mukhlis. And I'm getting annoyed with this, because the word Mukh means brain. So I finally said, why do you keep calling him brainless? He's not brainless. He's not muckless. He's not brainless. He's a very smart man, and I like him very much, and I don't like the way, I was probably eight, you know. I don't like the way you're talking about him. And once again, it's a ha, 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 ha. That's so cute. That's so clever. Muckless means sincere in Arabic. So we're not calling him stupid. We're calling him sincere. And I went, oh, I didn't even know what sincere really meant. They had explained that to me, more or less. But, and I went, oh, that's a false cognitive. Now, if every time you pick up a tarot card and you look at it and you read it at face value, for example, cut the deck, pick a card, truce. Truce. And you say, okay, you've been in a deal with some blah, 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 and you're not really getting along, and you pick up this card and it says truce, and you go, but you're going to get along just fine. That's a false cognitive. Any card, usually, any card that you pick up that you look at and just say, that's going to happen, that's a false cognitive. All right? Because Tarot is very deep. Tarot is based on life experience and isn't just cards that you associate a word with. That is the books that you buy. You buy a bunch of books on Tarot. And those books that you buy on Tarot have a word associated with it. So, example, the Five of Discs is worry. Okay. So what? The Lord of Worry. Okay, so what? What does that mean? Or you buy, you know, or you have a deck and it has pictures on it. And some of the pictures are, you know, people struggling or people fighting and that's disconcerting. I decided when I did my deck, when I created my deck, that I wanted if there was five discs, I wanted it to mean something that I related to, as something from my life. The five wands, I wanted those five wands to be something from my life experience, or something that I could really connect to, and so I did that. But I was, you know, in my 50s, I think, when I created it. It seems about right. Maybe 60s. I don't remember anymore. I could look up and, you know, see when I did that. Who cares? The point is that I just was burned out of studying the Crowley deck after, it had to be at least 45 years. At least 45 years of studying someone else's deck. And I finally got it. I got, you know, his little tricks and his clever jokes and all the red herrings that he laid down on the path of trying to figure things out. And I finally realized that, and bless him, really, bless the man, because a lot of what he did and a lot of his book, I don't have his book here. I have the one I had the original, the first paperback copy, I think, one of them, it had fallen apart, and so I rebound it and probably rendered it completely worthless. rebound it in faux leather, but it's under a bunch of books right here, and I don't feel like getting up and getting it, so I'll show it to you sometime. Just like, oh, look what I did. Yeah, I mean, it's a remarkable book because it's in ways incomprehensible. In ways, it's very clear about some things. But he created that book to guide your path through metaphysics. And that's what it does. But it leads you to really study the arts. The Mystical Arts. And I had been studying that book since I was 21, 22, something like that. I just said, oh my God, okay, the time has come for me to create my own thing. And that's when you know you're either fluent in the language or you're not. And I'm pretty fluent by this point. Let's talk about that. So what happens is, what is language itself? Language is words, but what are words? Words are symbols for something else. I think you'd agree with that. We have homonyms, we have homonyms. We have homonyms, we have antonyms, we have all sorts of nyms, right? They're words. The words are symbols for something else. And we have, it's very complicated, but we communicate. And we do communicate rather well. And the thing about Tarot is that it includes that aspect of intuition, that which we intuit. And you have to allow that to happen. A lot of people don't. You know, they flip over the card and it says, for example, it's the Knight of Cups. Well, the Knight of Cups, well, that's a man, and that's a man who is a lover, and he's coming into your life, and that might be very, very good, and but if you look at my Knight of Cups, you might say, I can never find that camera. That might not be exactly the way it's supposed to be, or that might not be quite what, you know, you can see him there. You know, he's about to hit that lighthouse. That Knight of Cups may not be exactly, what's that? Do you think he might be a little hardcore in a relationship? You know, so, I mean, that's, but how did I get to know this Knight of Cups? He's the fiery part of water. He's the fiery part of water. Quelly, welcome. Evening. Welcome to the room. That's good to see you. So, You learn, especially if you do readings professionally, as I did. I mean, I used to do a lot of readings. That's not brag. That's just fact. I was a house reader at what was called the 12th House Bookstore, you know, with Mark Huskin. In that bookstore, up and down the stairs, up and down the stairs. And it was a blessing. It was a blessing. I did on my own before that. But luckily I got into that environment, which was a wonderful environment. It was a great place to be, at a great time to be there. And I worked on my own as well. And you work and you do readings, and the cards teach you. I promise you that. The cards will teach you. Why? Because if you're sincere, mukhlis, as we say, they will teach you. They want you to learn because they want to promote the art of reading because it helps people. Now, there are a lot of people out there who read who maybe don't do such a good job. And that is, of course, I suppose, unfortunate. I suppose that's unfortunate. But, so it is. You know, we just have to do the best we can, right? We have to do the best we can. And so you and I have to work on this language. So, we have words. Now, words are symbols, but they are symbols of what? So let's take a card like Truce. Now my card, Truce, I chose is four Scotsmen. I don't know if you can see them. Let me see if I can do this here. Yeah, there you are. Four Scotsmen who are doing that wonderful sword dance they do. I saw the Black Watch many years ago, and they just come back from the Falkland Islands, and they lay down those swords and they dance over them, right? And truce, and you think, well, I thought, what is a truce? That's the four, and that's the name of the card. The four of swords is known as truce. And I thought, what is a truce? It's a cessation of war, temporary. And I thought of that. So if you're temporarily not fighting, now these guys were done because they won the Falkland Islands thing. But the Black Watch is they're part of the Royal Army. I don't know if they're army, but the Royal Fighting Force. And at the time, they were the Queen's Royal Fighting Force, and they had been fighting. And yet here they were playing bagpipes and dancing on swords. Just like, you know, flying through the air over these swords. It was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. It was beautiful. And playing the bagpipes and all of that thing. I wore a kilt to it. And I love the outfit. I love the kilt. It was an authentic. Everything was authentic. All of it was just, you know. And so I wrap that up into my meaning of the concept of truce. The swords are there if they need them. Those four swords are there. They're not up on a wall somewhere. They're not in a basement. They're not, you know, they're ready. So that's, to me, is the meaning of truce. You may be dancing, you may be, but you're ready in a moment's notice to go back to war. So when I think about truce, and when this card comes up in a reading for me, I think that's the language. The language is a temporary breather, but you have to be ready to get back to it. And that's from experience and experience in life as well. You think about your own life. You think about, what have I done that is similar to this concept? So you let the cards talk to you. You think about, where have I been? Where have I been where I've experienced something to this extent? See? And even if you look at a card, the Six of Cups in my deck, the drawing isn't that great. I'll show it to you here. I was watching Bullet for the first time with Steve McQueen, and I'd never seen it before, even though it's from my era. And I was so enthralled with it that as I was drawing the card, I kept stopping and watching the movie and going, wow, I can't believe I've never seen Bullet. And I think Robert Vaughn was in it, and he plays the bad guy. You know, Napoleon Solo from The Man from U.N.C.L.E. And what a great movie. And so I ended up with a card that, quite frankly, it's not great. You know, I'm not that great an artist, but I guess you can kind of get the idea. The Six of Cups is called pleasure. Oh, that shows pretty well there. So I'm going to leave it right there. And the concept of the cups, those are six bags that have dropped down from a plane. They're the pressure, you know, if you lose the pressure in the plane, don't put the cups over your kid's face, put it over yours. Remember that? You've all been on a plane, I'm guessing, and if not, then God bless you, you're living a good life. Because it's hectic. Travel is hectic. So that's what those are. And it's pleasure. Well, why pleasure? What the heck? What is that from? Well, on the Crowley deck, and you can look it up. Crowley. I said Crowley instead of Crowley. A lifetime. You can look it up on the internet. Six of Cups. Thoth deck. Crowley deck. They have six cups, and there are these lotuses, or whatever those flowers are. They may be chrysanthemums. I don't know. Like, I don't remember. And they have this fluid coming from them. And the liquid or whatever it is, the energy coming from them, they go into the cups, but the cups don't overflow. All of the energy from the cups go into that cup and nowhere else. And the inference I make from that is that true pleasure is making sure that you are taken care of. I thought, of course, that's brilliant. In a true pleasure scenario, we make sure that we are taken care of, and only through that can we take care of other people. It's brilliant. So, I mean, I've been on planes with my kids, and I've been sitting there and thinking, okay, if something happens to the plane and the cab depressurizes and that cup comes down, I'm putting it on the kid. And then one time I'm sitting next to the big guy who looks at my kids with contempt, and I realize, well, if I don't take care of my kids, he's not going to. So yeah, I have to take care of myself so I can take care of them. And that is the true meaning of pleasure. Because if something happens to them, I'll never have pleasure again. See? So that's why this card is what it is, because of my personal experiences. That's tarot. We allow our personal life to intervene with our meanings of the cards. So when you're reading for someone and you get this card, the cards will also teach you. They'll give you new meaning. They'll tell you things that you didn't think you knew because you didn't know it. They'll pop it in your head. And I don't think that's just a me thing, a mo thing. I think that's an everybody thing. You'll get that intuitive hit. Here's a card. The Three of Swords. Sorrow. Here's three cards. Okay? Three swords. Three knives. Three implements. And it's called sorrow. Every one of these is an implement used in really kind of street warfare. They're all quick deploying knives. A ballet song, right? Or, you know, a butterfly knife, a switchblade, and an out the front knife. These are all used for street fighting. And in my state, they're all illegal. I've got two out of three. I've got all three. I have all three of these. Now, I don't use them. I don't carry them because for some reason I was, stopped. I would probably get a ticket. You get a ticket. I'm an old man. They're going to know I'm not, I've got one that my son brought back from Mexico. It's broken. But I like the mechanism. It's fun. And I bought a ballet song, a butterfly knife, a long time ago before they were illegal. And it's dull. You couldn't cut butter with it. And the switchblade I got was a guy who couldn't pay for a reading. He said, "Would you take one of these and this?" And I said, "Yeah, I'll take it. That's pretty cool, why did I do that? It's really uneven. Anyway. Don't look in a mirror very often. So that's that. So you say, what is the sorrow there? Well, there's more to this card than meets the eye. Sorrow is a very interesting concept. I realized once, I'm not going to tell you the story because it'll break me up, but that grief is a constant thing, and that we just kind of, it's like magma. Magma. And that we go from one grief experience to another in our lives, and that there's when it hits, it just cracks the surface of the earth. And that grief magma is available. It's raw and it's underneath. And we're not just grieving the experience or the time or whatever it is. We are grieving everything in our lives. I found that out one time about, 50 years ago, and I was just astounded at how much pain I was in over something that should not have been as painful as it was. And I realized I was grieving everything that had come before. And I think that's the truth of it. And that's real sorrow. Sorrow is a powerful... And so this card... is a card to be reckoned with in people's lives. That's language, you see. That's a symbol. So if someone, you get this card, you have to take it seriously, and it may mean nothing to you as a reader. That that's the key. You have to realize that, you know, to you, it's like, oh, come on. You know, it's just a dance, or it's just a, you know, it's just a, you know, oh, come on, it's not important. But you must never minimize the importance of something in someone's life, because it really is vital to them. See? But to you, it's nothing. But to them, it's compounded. It's everything. It's everything. And people carry these instruments in their pockets. Right? Can't get on a plane with one. And that's another thing. I mean, I actually saw this one time. Guy said he was going on a trip. He was going blah, blah, and he's, you know, going to Miami. He was going to have a good time. And I pulled this card and I said, do you have an illegal knife in your pocket right now? Because that's what came in my head. And he said, well, yeah. Okay, no, yeah, so what? I said, if you try to get on a plane with that, if you forget to take it out of your pocket, you're not going to go on that plane. He said, oh, you're full of blah, blah, blah. I said, here's the card. Which one of these do you have? And he didn't have any one of these. He had something that was even worse, a gravity knife, which are so illegal. And he said, well, yeah, but they're not going to recognize this. And I take it with me everywhere I go because you never know what's going to happen and blah, blah, blah. It needs to be deployed quickly and blah, blah, blah. He didn't get to go on his vacation because he refused to part with it. And they, you know, they didn't arrest him or anything, but he wouldn't, because they have you give it to them and they throw it in a big box and it gets sold at auction. And he was, because it had been his dad's and or some such thing like that. I don't know. And he was like that. He was a stubborn fellow. He's no longer with us, but he was a sweet guy. He was just stubborn, you know. So the cards will tell you. And if you and that's the amazing aspect of these things. But this is a really interesting, you know, this is how it works. You here. Success. What is more successful than a stained glass of bees? Well, real bees. And when I designed this card, I thought it would be perfect. But I realized after I designed it that I had made a mistake. That it is not perfect. That one of the bees is a little bit out of alignment with the other ones. And of course, what that taught me was that there is no such thing as perfection. Even in nature, nothing is perfect. So I screwed up, but it was also that nothing is ever completely successful. That's Tarot. Tarot teaches you as you go. So the language of Tarot is listening to the cards. Now, how do I read? Let's move on, because I could keep going and going and going. I love my deck. I love it. Imperfections and all. I never really contemplated, oh, someone's going to want to buy this. And I think it was Mark who said, you should sell this thing. And I said, I don't know. And people bought it. I was kind of surprised. And I am going to make it available again. There's tariffs on it because it's printed in Hong Kong. But the quality is amazing. I should have probably put a border around the edges, but because they wear out a little bit on the edges. That's what borders on cards are for, but I'm not going to worry about that. Oh, Leslie, hi. Hello, Mo. Hello, listeners. Mo, you would make the world a better place if you put a tarot book out there. We need a good one. You know, thank you, Leslie. I've actually started lots of books. They're usually so obtuse. I actually wrote a book, not a book, but like 3-4 chapters of a book. Started with the fool, and then I wrote about the priestess and the magus, And I'm not lying when I tell you that people who read what I wrote swore that they hallucinated while they were reading it. I didn't hallucinate when I wrote it, but they swore that they hallucinated while they read it. So that doesn't do anyone any good, in my opinion. You know, that just doesn't do anyone any good at all. I don't know what that's about. I'll try again. I would like to write a book. I don't know. I was thinking of doing a series of short, you know, on YouTube, shorts have to be less than 3 minutes long about cards. Here's one card, 2 minutes and 30. I don't know. Would that be worth anything? I have no idea what to do. I mean, I'm getting up there in age. Pardon me. I don't know. It would be a different book. It would be the... I've always said I want to write the book that I wish I had had when I started Tarot. I was 10 years old. I started with the Tarot of the Bohemians by Pappas, which was not the book to start with, but that was what I had. I don't use... They're so kind. Thank you for that, by the way. It does sound perfect, does it? A book that would make you hallucinate? I'm not kidding you. People said that, and I thought, what does that mean? Why would you hallucinate when you're reading my book? That's kind of weird. But anyway, I mean, it's safer than acid, maybe. I don't use spreads. I used to use spreads. I always thought that spreads were more for the people you were reading for, because they like that order. They like seeing spreads. But I haven't used a spread in decades. I'm going to teach a couple of spreads here in this venue. My favorite one is... Now you're totally intrigued. I'm sure. Shorts would be good? Okay. I'll do some stuff. I used to I might teach you a thing called the opening of the key, which is a remarkable way that to learn Tarot, actually. It's the they used to teach it in the Golden Dawn. And Crowley taught it in the Equinox, and it's in his book, The Book of Thoth. But it's pretty simple, and it teaches you how to read, that's for darn sure. write a book. Maybe they had a little help. No, they weren't that type, trust me. And everyone said the same thing. They hallucinated. And it's like, no, I don't know why. I mean, it doesn't seem that. It was kind of free form thought. I wasn't writing, now this card, read this card this way. I told some stories that were true and some that weren't all that true about the philosophy of the card and stories that would help you to kind of understand the card better. And some what they used to call the Golden Dawn flying rolls, but my version of it. I've had some pretty heady experiences meditating and some what I would call shamanistic experiences, where I see things in meditations or play my flutes, and suddenly I'm somewhere else, and I have some very powerful, I'm there. I mean, I'm not here anymore, I'm there. And I see things or experience things, and then when I come back, it's like, whew, and those types of things that are connected to the cards, or card meditations where you walk into a card. It's cool stuff. And so maybe that could be part of it, too. I don't know. But did it open their third eye? That's a good question. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I am what used to be called an occultist, and all that means is I study this stuff. It's good stuff. I've studied it for a long time, and I've practiced things, tattvic work. The tattvas are very wonderful things. I found my tattva cards. I did a presentation on that. Didn't have the cards. Now I know where they are because I looked. And I did find them. And maybe I should do another thing on that. It's good for that type of thing, trying to open the third eye. And it does wonders for that. Of course, so do some other things. So, but how do I read? Well, I do this. I just shuffle up the cards, and I think about, okay, so if I have a question, I say, all right, what do I want to ask? To be political, because I can't get away from it, because I think it's very important time. A week ago, I saw a video of a huge miscarriage of justice, a huge, egregious act. Will the perpetrator of that act ever be brought to justice? My thought of justice. And I just pull a card, and I have the Emperor. Now, my Emperor is a lighthouse keeper standing in front of a very large lighthouse. He's in front of the light itself. On the card itself, you can actually see the lens, which is a first order lens, very large, 12 feet tall. You can't really see it very well. No, you can't. You can't see it well in the picture. And he's, it's nighttime, it's foggy, and he's got his telescope in hand. And in the book, I wrote a little book, 235-page pamphlet that goes along with this deck. He describes, that would be me, I describe what he's doing and why. Because lighthouse keepers, they work constantly. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So what does this tell you? What do you think this means? This is a major arcana card. This is very important. And knowing everything you know, and this is the other thing about being conversant with Tarot, you have to use everything you know about the art, you know. What it says is, it's not an answer. It's saying that the powers of the universe, what we would call perhaps not just karma, but the idea of justice, is seeking it, even if those in charge are not. So I will ask another question. So in other words, a certain force is looking to put this upon him. I pull another card, virtue. Virtue, the Three of Wands. Virtue. And my Three of Wands is a milking stool, because a milking stool always sits perfectly so that you can milk the cow. What is more virtuous than milking a cow? If you have a milk cow and you don't milk it, that's not a good thing. That's not virtuous. So, virtue. Now, that's timing as well, because the Three of Wands is ruled by the Sun in Aries. So around springtime. So perhaps it's possible that we will see some sort of justice around there. Maybe. But there is something happening, okay? Victory. Again, after shuffling and cutting. I'm going to cut one more. The Queen of Discs. Right side up. The Queen of Discs. You can barely see her there. She's there. She's there. She's the watery part of the earth. She feeds all fresh water. Without her, we would have no water. We wouldn't be able to drink. Oasis is Oasis these, away, whatever. Kleenex, Kleenexes, I don't know what it is. This is very hopeful for me. Do you see, I'm just talking to the deck. What about those who have said that he had no culpability? Success. Not a perfect success, as I said earlier. So what is going to happen here? Oh, power. That's looking at the Great Pyramid from the top. The four discs are the points where the foundation of the pyramid, where the pressure is upon those four corners, are where the real power of the pyramid is, you see. So I'm not happy about what I'm seeing, but it is probably reality that something will happen with him of some sort. Whew. Yeah, I have to show you. Ace of Cups. My Ace of Cups is a begging bowl. I won't get into all what I think about that because we're almost out of show. It's a complicated card. My Ace of Cups is a begging bowl. A begging bowl is so much. Because all the aces are, of course, just seeds. I want justice to be fulfilled, whatever justice is. It's not up to me to say what justice is. But have you heard anything about the guy? Jonathan Ross? I haven't. You know? Did you hear that there's a claim that there is a man named Donald Trump in the Epstein files, named thousands of times, but it's a different Donald Trump? Prince of Swords. Can you see what those are? Those are two tornadoes. Does that look like confusion to you? Sure. The Prince of Swords. The airy part of air. That's Tarot talking to me. Right? Do you get it? This is what you do. And you pull cards, you know? And you just ask questions. Eventually, the sun will come out. Yeah. I used to have an alter ego named Paisley Windsock. That's where it came from. I actually am tipping my hand there. I'll tell you the story sometime. But not today. Conversing with the deck is just about pulling cards, asking a question, pulling a card, getting an answer, putting it down. In the beginning, it's not easy because you're like, ugh. But eventually, you get the answer and you hear it or you sense it or you get it and you go on. You see? Wealth is what I got. Wealth. They don't shatter, these people, because there's nothing to shatter, right? They're not even hiding anymore. I'm just reading the cards. Nothing bothers them because they have all that money. They engage in debauchery. My debauch card, see? They engage in debauchery because they can. Because it doesn't bother them, you see? And they think we're fools. And this is how I read. I just take the meaning that comes to me when I see it. And they do not pay any attention to what has happened in the past. You know, blah, 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 blah. Oh, you miss Paisley, do you, Pamela? Things that make you go, Pamela? Yeah. And eventually, kaboom, failure. Failure. But, you know, they don't have any heart. Princess of Cups reversed. No heart. They just don't have it. That's me. That's my interpretation. It's not the interpretation of this studio, this radio station or whatever the case may be, right? And here we go. The Eight of Wands. Swiftness. Eventually, they will meet their Leviathan. Because underneath that scullery boat there, sculling boat, actually, is a whale. You can't see it here. But if you had the card, you would see it. There's a whale. Nothing lasts forever. I'm very political. I've always been that way. And I have a hard time pulling away from it. Yeah, Paisley's a good guy. Of course I sound like Paisley, but I really do sound like Paisley at certain times that I don't do anymore. Virtue again. Virtue always wins. It does. Virtue always wins, and it will come back because people crave it and want it. So I'm going to do this more. We're going to come back to this idea. Did you get the kind of the gist of it? Tarot conversation. Tarot is a language. It is a language. Think of it that way. Forget about reading, what do you call them, spreads and so on for a while. Just card meaning, card meaning, card meaning. Forget about the false, you know, the false cognitives. Just look at the card and think depth. What is it really telling you from your own life as well? All right? Okay. That's all for today. That's all the time I've got. I have to get going. I love you all. And remember, peace and love. It's the most important thing there is right now, because there's some crazy people out there and they're running things. Okay. Take care of yourselves. And remember, don't mess around with the nuts. Okay. Don't get in their faces. Don't just relax. And yes, sir. No, sir. I taught my kids that lesson a long time ago. Until then, next week, I'll see you later. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.